Morning. Today's first scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 8, verses 10 through 20, and can be found on page 180 of your pew Bible. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you to this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength in my hands have produced wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for he is who gives you the ability to produce wealth and to confirm covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord.
I've asked several people to share with us what they are thankful for. They do this as a testimony to the faithfulness of God, and to be obedient to the word of God, which instructs us to give thanks to God. We do so now. Listen to them. Listen to what they have to say to us about themselves and, in a way, about us. David?
Where to start? To begin, I'm thankful to God for my wife, Nina, my family, and my new family. I'm thankful to God for my church family. Recently, in a quiet moment, I began thinking about my mother. Maybe it was triggered by several friends in this church having recently lost mothers. My thoughts went back to when I was around 4 or 5. I didn't have any siblings yet. My mother would tuck me in bed and kiss me and tell me she loved me, and I can still feel her love. I kept thinking about her love. It wasn't her words. It was the way she cared for me, looked out for me. We lived on a small ranch. We had milk cows, a garden, horses, chickens, a dog, rabbits, an alfalfa field, and lots of room to run around and play. Eventually, I had 3 younger siblings, 2 brothers, and a sister. That same motherly love, undiluted, continued for all of us. We lived near the mountains in Colorado, and my dad was a prospector. He was gone most of the time, working on his mining claims, which never paid much of anything. My mother really had her hands full with us kids, with washing clothes by hand, with the milking, irrigating the corn and the alfalfa, mending the fields, chopping wood, gathering kindling, and so on. We were not a church-going family, but Mom started taking me to Sunday school after I started the first grade. Dad left the family when I was a sophomore. Now, with no cash, Mom managed to search out a job so that we could occasionally buy some necessities from the store. I thank God for a wonderful mother. Then I turned my thoughts to God and his love. Whole different situation. Can't see God, not hands-on, not face-to-face. But he gives us the ability to think, to reason, and in our minds we know just from nature, the physical world, that there is a maker, a creator of what there is here. Creation happened a long time ago. We didn't get to see it happen. But there's this book, a record, passed down generation to generation for millennia, the Bible. God had it written, not by just one person, by at least 50 people over centuries, people to whom God spoke so that he could tell us about himself. And it turns out that he is a God who loves people in a way, way beyond a mother's love, comprehensive beyond comprehension. From the beginning, we pushed away this loving God who knows what is best for us and chose to do our own thing. It's called sin. But God kept on loving us. I thank God for Holy Scriptures. Eventually, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live among men, to show them hands-on, face-to-face, how he loved them, and to give a visible model of how they should live. The Father then allowed his Son to be crucified and killed as the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of mankind. I thank God for his Son and for his sacrifice, which is the atonement for my sins. After his return to heaven, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to each of us who has believed in Christ to continue to instruct and to illuminate the scripture for us and to help us become more and more like Jesus. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Psalms 118, 28, and 29 says, "You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever."
And all the people said,
"There are many things in life which I am thankful to God for. I am thankful to God for my family, my parents who guide me, and my brother who sides with me, sometimes. I am thankful to God for my friends. I am thankful to God for my church family, all of you, who feed me with spiritual food and water me with God's word, who help me grow, not only as a Christian, but also as a person. I am thankful for this church, for this place to worship God. I am thankful to God for clean air to breathe and purified water to drink. I am thankful to God for my school and the wonderful teachers he has blessed me with. I am thankful to God for electricity, that when I touch the light switch, the light will actually turn on. I am thankful to God for my home, for the peace, warmth, and love which fill it. I am also thankful to God for all the things he has blessed me with. Multicolored pens to write with, journals to fill, creativity to spark. I am thankful to God for music, for singers like Lauren Daigle, Corey Asbury, and Toby Mack. I am also thankful to God for inspirational young adults like Sadie Robertson. I am also very thankful for books, books which contain prevalent information like the Bible, and how to make healthy Indian food. I am thankful to God for food and all the taste buds and sensory systems we have in our body. I am thankful to God for his wondrous creation, for the mountains which stretch up to the clouds and lakes which come in all shades of blue. I am thankful to God for comfortable, clean clothes. I know what I just said contains some alliteration, so I'm also thankful for the power of literature. I'm thankful for America and the Constitution. I'm thankful for the many freedoms we are offered in this country. I'm thankful to God for the vast variety of opportunities available in this land, from history to aeronautical science to math. I'm thankful for the education system and unbiased news sources. I'm thankful to God for stores which satisfy our needs as well as our wants. I'm thankful to God for fast and comfortable transportation. I'm thankful to God for seasons and the people who help me go through each one. I'm thankful to God for His Word and everything in it. But most of all, I'm thankful to God for Jesus, who died on the cross to save me from all of my iniquities. And yes, I'm also thankful to God for Whiteout, not just the one which erases ink if I made a mistake, but also the one which washes away all of my scarlet sins and makes me as white as snow.
To the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is your health and salvation. Come all who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord above all things, so wondrously reigning, sheltering you under His wings and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by His gracious ordaining? Praise to the your work and defend you. Surely His goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with His love He befriends you. Praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore Him. All that has life and breath come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again, gladly forever adore Him.
And please be seated.
I don't know if I'm better off seeing you or just letting you all be blurry, but I guess I'll... Wow, okay. Boy, I've never been thankful for math. I can say that. Thanks to Mike for charming me into doing this. I don't know what I was thinking, what I agreed, but... When I was told I had 3 or 4 minutes to share God's blessings, my initial thought was, well, how am I going to come up with enough material for 4 minutes? And then throughout the week, I found myself taking inventory of what for me were the most significant blessings that God had given to me. And I quickly realized that 4 minutes is not enough. I need more. There's going to be things that I have to leave out. And another thing that surprised me by this this time of retrospect is the actual process ended up being a blessing to me, because I typically am someone that is looking forward, whether it's what I need to do today or something, you know, coming up, maybe a trip, or I tend to be looking down the road, and I don't often take time to look in the rearview mirror and see what God has done for me. So this has been good for me, and I encourage, I think it's something all of us as believers should do occasionally, is look back and see where God has brought us. So not only do you get a testimony, you got a little message there, so that's a bonus. So I'm going to give you the three-minute edited version of my life story. I grew up in the Bay Area, a non-church home. My dad died rather suddenly when I was 10. By the time I was in my early teens, my mom had become an alcoholic. So there wasn't my home life wasn't real joyful. But again, thinking things through this last week, I can thank God for the friends. Even though I didn't know Jesus at the time, he knew me. And I'm thankful for the friends that he brought alongside me, friends that shared the same passion, which primarily was sports, as you can see. I get a lot of grief about this. I'm not sure why. Sports has always been a big part of my life. It still is. The only thing that's changed in the last 50-some years, my grandkids tell me my hair has gotten grayer. But sports is a big part of who I am. And the circle of friends that I had from grade school through high school, some of which I'm still in touch with, God protected me from things such as, I never had an interest in getting into drugs or alcohol. I was too shy to deal with girls, so that was a blessing, I think, at the time. So it was a classmate that I'm thankful for convinced me to attend a Young Life function one night in my high school. I was a senior in high school. And that event, it was an all-night volleyball game, and that's the only reason I went, because, again, it was sports-related. But that evening led to my going to a Young Life weekend retreat. I heard the gospel for the first time. I accepted Christ. I had an awesome Young Life leader who I'm thankful for, and another blessing, we were apart for 35 years. We reconnected about 5 years ago. He retired here in Gig Harbor, so we've been able to, as adults, reconnect and have that relationship. So that's been a real blessing to have that, in a sense, father figure that I really haven't had back in my life. So after that accepting Christ, I was plugged into a church nearby. It was a great church. It was my first church experience. And so I assumed all churches were that great. Well, it wasn't until a few years later that I realized what a special church it was. For those of you that are maybe my age or older, Peninsula Bible Church in Palo Alto, pastors Ray Stedman, Dave Roper, Ron Ritchie, the worship pastor was John Fisher. And it was, I'm really thankful that I had such a strong church experience. That led me to Multnomah Bible College. I knew I needed more Bible training, so I got my degree there. More importantly, I met Stephanie there, and we just celebrated 40 years of marriage this summer. That's right. Her parents never thought it would happen, did you? 40 years. But and then from that, we have one son. Our son is a pastor in Portland. So thankful for the man that he's become. Thankful for the relationship that the three of us have. As busy as he is, he still calls me probably 3-4 times a week. I don't take that for granted because I know not all parents have that, you know, that connection with their kids, especially, you know, as children become adults. We have three grandchildren that are the joy of my life. The oldest is a 10-year-old girl. She was the first girl born in my family in 98 years. So that has been that's been interesting to see the world through a little girl's eyes. I've learned a lot of things I knew nothing about, and now I know too much about things I really shouldn't know. But so I'm thankful for them. And lastly, I'm thankful for this church, really in two ways. I came here a little over 5.5 years ago looking for a home for the food bank, and met with Pastor James and the church council, and I'm so thankful that our ministry has been able to continue here, and we're being able to continue to impact the community. We're serving more families than we ever have. And then lastly, I'm thankful for some of the relationships that I've made here in the church. We've made some very good friends, and just very grateful for that the Lord led us here. Thank you.
Amen.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lori. And before I start telling you what I'm thankful for, I'd like to take, like everyone else, a minute to share a little bit of my previous life with you to give you some perspective. So, like many people, I graduated from college in my early 20s. And a few years later, I got married to a Christian man. And we had decent jobs. We bought a house. We had kids. And on the outside, everything seemed beautiful. But as life went on, we made some poor choices as we faced life's challenges, and the consequences built up until finally, about a dozen years ago, everything came crashing down. Now, divorce is always painful and ugly, but of course, from my perspective, ours was especially so. We lost our home, our church family, our financial security, most of our friends, and greatly strained all of our extended family relationships. More significantly, my sense of self-worth and self-confidence was flattened. My life and that of my kids was just a pile of rubble. What I'm thankful for is the rebuilding that God has done in my life since then. So, the first thing that I'm thankful for is that God's my Savior. He is a God who came for the lost, the sick, the weak, the failed, and the broken. He's a God of second chances. He's patient, and he's loving, and he loves me. And I'm thankful that he loves just me, not me for anything I've done or anybody I'm in relationship with, but just me. As I've started over from basically scratch, his promises to be my father, my comforter, my rock, my shepherd, my hiding place, and my protector have been slowly building themselves into my consciousness in a way that never would have happened otherwise. And for that, I'm really grateful. The second thing I'm thankful for is relationships. I'm particularly grateful for the relationship I have with my three children. It's been a pleasure to see them heal and grow and become independent adults, and for how our relationship has changed as they've matured and moved out. As my roles and responsibilities have changed, I'm also thankful for the new friends God has brought into my life. I'm thankful for the people in this church family who've reached out to me continually, encouraged me, supported me, and loved me. Sorry. Next, I'm thankful for my work. I'm thankful for the jobs that God's pretty much dropped into my lap after being a stay-at-home mom for years. These jobs have provided the financial resources the kids and I have needed just in time, like manna from heaven. Not enough to store up and rot or squander, but always just enough, just in time for what we need. I'm also thankful for my health. It's scary as a single mom to hear the word cancer. I'm thrilled to be healthy and past that stage, and I have a whole new appreciation for the phrase, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And each morning, even dark, tough, early workday mornings, I rejoice in that day and look forward to it. Finally, I'm even thankful for my age. I'm getting old enough to start to notice it, and it's not always fun. But as I look out from my vantage point, I'm so thankful to God for the perspective that my experiences have given me, the many examples of God's provision in seemingly impossible situations day after day for the past several years gives me a real sense of security and peace. I can't think of an age I would want to go back to. So that's an outline of the things I'm grateful to God for this Thanksgiving season. The path that I'm on is not one that I expected or would have chosen or would recommend. My life is not a finished work. It's not as elaborate or far-reaching or influential as it was 20 years ago, but I believe that I've grown tremendously and that I'm a better person in a better place. So thanks be to God.
Amen. All right, let's stand. Let's stand and do what you've been wanting to do. Let's give them a hand, all of them. Thank you for those profound and encouraging words. Let's sing.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow.
Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Children, since we need quite a few this morning, children up through sixth grade, come on up if you would. You don't have to, but if you don't. Oh, up here. Up there. Okay, oh, I see. Come on. Oh, this is going to take us a long time. I can tell that right now. It's a simple thing you're going to do. Okay, good. All right. So what we're going to do is give thanks to God in a different kind of way. God tells us in his word that he will make us rich in every way, so that we can be good to other people, so we can be rich towards other people. There are people in this world who do not have enough food to eat, who do not have clean water to drink, who do not have a place to live. people who are suffering because of storms and earthquakes, all kinds of things. Well, we're going to help them this morning. This right now, people are getting ready to give to the World Relief Offering, aren't they? Yes, they are. Okay? So what we're going to do is I'm going to have you go out and collect from the people who have something and bring it up and put it in this basket. Okay, word of instruction, get something from one person and bring it up here. And don't run. If you fall down and injure yourself, that will really mess with the ambiance of the moment, okay? All right. Okay, so they're going to raise their hands if they have something, okay? Aren't you? Yes. Not now. Just wait, okay? Good, good, good. All right. Okay? You all understand what you're going to do. You're going to, don't run, you're going to walk, and you're going to go to every person who has their hand raised and receive from them. Yes. Yes. Oh, I see.
We're ready.
Oh, yes, we're ready. Okay, very good. Okay, we're all set. We all understand what we're doing? Good. I'm going to say this, but, you know, don't run, okay? On your mark, get set. Do you understand what we're doing? Yeah, okay, all right, all right. On your mark, get set. Remember now, don't run. Go. Oh, and put it in this basket I have for you here.
Okay, let's go find another one.
All right, good. Jesus loves the little children. All right, very good, very good. Here, sit down around the basket if you would, please, and then I'll just have a word of prayer, and then we can, you'll be free of this terrible responsibility. All right. So God is going to use what we've given today and what we've given for this in the past couple of weeks, and He's going to use it to help people. Okay, so we're going to pray and give thanks to God for what has happened this morning and what He's going to do with what we've given to Him to work with. Okay, all right, let's pray. Father, as we give this gift, it is because You have made us rich in every way so that we can be rich towards others. May it be, Father, that the people who make decisions about how these resources are used, this money is used, that they will be wise and they will see the needs that You have set before them. Help them make good decisions, Father. And thank You for this time. Thank You for the children that have made this, that helped us worship You in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing now. It's something called the doxology, and it starts with... Yes, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's stand, everyone, and let's sing that.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
I have great news for you. You're all worried. Let me reassure you, I'm not going to preach a sermon. I do, though, have one thing, maybe three things to say to you. In the text I was read earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 8, just a couple things. The overall sort of teaching in that is that one way that we are told by God to give thanks is to be obedient to him. All right? Understand that. A part of giving thanks to God is to be obedient to him. That's what he says and admonishes the people in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The other thing is he says to give thanks. And this, I think, for most people has special application today or this week. It says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. There will probably be, for most of you here this week, there will be a time when you have eaten and are satisfied. That's a usual practice, and I want to encourage you to do that. Eat, be satisfied. But also to do what it says in Deuteronomy 8, to give thanks. To not leave that out. Or do not assume it's happening after you have eaten. And actually, it says there, probably when you gather, and if you do, and for a meal, you'll give thanks beforehand. I want to encourage you to do this. After you have eaten and are satisfied, you take a moment to give thanks. After you are eaten and are satisfied. So that the moment has a sense of, I'm thankful, we're thankful, not just for this meal, which we are, but the moment will also have sort of an added depth to it. We are thankful for all the things you have blessed us with. After you have eaten and are satisfied. When Judy and I would go to Los Angeles for Christmas. And we did that. We've done that for 40 plus years. And we won't do it this year because there's no place to go anymore in Los Angeles for us. Judy's mom has moved. When we would go there, we would often go to the local Catholic church, St. Dominic's. I remember one time coming out of that service after a really, really good sermon. And I walked up to the priest, and I said to him, that was a great worship time. And he said to me, thanks be to God. I don't know how many times I have heard that expression, but somehow when he said it at that moment, it stuck in my head. Thanks be to God. I want to encourage you, if you choose to give thanks to God, to give thanks after you have eaten and are satisfied, that it be not just give thanks, but specifically and emphatically it be thanks be to God, and thereby complete the process of giving thanks, to acknowledge that God is a giver of these good gifts, whatever they might be that fill your life. Give thanks, yes, good. Give thanks to God, better. That's it. That's all I got to say. Yes, and all the people said, you people are impossible. Okay. I think, what do we do next? Sing? Oh, Life of the Church. Okay. I encourage you to turn your attention to the Life of the Church. Announcements. I don't have my slip in front of me. There's a meeting right after worship today, a business meeting. Boy, talk about things to be thankful for. There's a meal that will be served. My understanding is the plan is to have steak and lobster. It will look a lot like chili and cornbread, but think of it as steak and lobster. And then, so that happens at 11, I think. Everyone is invited to that. If there's a vote taken, and I think there will be because it's a budget thing, members vote for that. Okay, or rather about that. And then decorating for Advent takes place December 1st. And donuts will be served. Good things. I think that's all. Right? Isn't it? I think it is. All right. Let's stand and sing.